This is episode 7 of the Patriot Power Hour with your host, Future Dan, and my co-host, Bankster Breaker Ben Cochran. Tonight on the Patriot Power Hour, we will be discussing current events and outlook for the 2018 world stage. And after the break, on the second half of the hour, we'll be joined by Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Always great to talk to Robert, what he's got going down at his store and his ranch in Tennessee. So without further ado, I'd like to join my host into the program. Mr. Cochran, are you with us tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm stoked. First show of 2018. Let's do it.
Awesome. So what's Bitcoin worth tonight, Bitcoin, Ben?
Almost exactly 15,000. So it hasn't really moved too much the last 2-3 weeks. That's wrong. It has gone up, has gone down, but it's kind of where it was. So much to do about nothing.
We had a great first season starting in November, where the first 4 episodes of the Patriot Power Hour had a significantly new and wild price for Bitcoin. But as your episode 6 end of year prediction is holding, that action seems to have cooled off. We're looking at
temporarily,
danger.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at future danger, though. I'll tell you what hasn't cooled off. It's a steady trickle of the news of how cryptocurrency is the worst thing in the world for people who don't know any better, and how governments are ramping up to understand it, deal with it, and potentially quash it. So I'm carrying 3 headlines in the indicator, column 3, economic news, future danger. Washington Post ominously warns Bitcoin being used by extremist groups, which obviously Ben Cochran is probably inside of one of those. The second headline is Australian bank reportedly freezes the accounts of Bitcoin users. And we saw a headline last year of a Minnesota bank basically sending a letter to one of their account holders saying, well, you sent money to Bitcoin, so you violated some obscure term of or condition of being a member of the bank. And finally, Chinese Central Bank prepares to regulate Bitcoin mining. Where do you see us at with the inevitable government crackdown on crypto, Ben?
Well, in honor of Star Wars, the whole Star Wars push this past holiday season, the Disney overhype train. But we will say, go back to Princess Leia, when she was Princess Leia, when she truly was the heartthrob of everyone. Even before I was born, she was the heartthrob. The tighter you grasp the star systems, the more that will slip through your fingers. That was my best attempt at it. And that's what they're going to do. The harder they try to fight against this torrent of cryptocurrency, the harder they try to I like how you put it, quash it. The more that they attempt to interfere, the more that this will actually succeed. They might get Bitcoin. They might get 1 or 2 other coins. They may shut those down. They may destroy the miners or the confidence or the exchanges. But the tighter they make it, the more they try, the more people will rebel. And that'll be an even bigger boost to cryptocurrency as a whole.
Yeah, the way I see it, Ben, is if they could have figured out how to quash it, they would have done it by now. There may be something inherent in blockchain, the way those things were set up, where it's being decrypted over time. You know, that's what the mining is. They're slowly rolling out the total value of each of these cryptocurrencies. For example, Bitcoin, in the end, is only going to be 21 million coins, right? It has to be that, but we're not there yet. It's timed to probably reach its, you know, so that all the coins that ever can be available are available by 2022, 24, depends on how fast they mine it. But after that, there's no more new coins to be had. If they could have intercepted the blockchain, gotten involved in disrupting it and hacking it, I think they would have done it by now. Definitely in the previous administration to the current one, if they thought they could do it. But My view is this technology, they don't know how to grapple it. They can't grapple it. They can't understand. It's actually can't be hacked.
Yeah.
If that holds
true, it's too nimble. It's too able to adjust, and the harder they try, the quicker they'll get around it. The more bureaucracy and ways they try to come up with stopping it, the slower they will be able to adjust and regulate new versions and whatnot, and they'll just, you know, be so nimble that it won't work.
It's technologically resilient.
There you go.
Because copies of all the data are shared over all the exchanges. You can't take just one down because it's all backed up in probably what's a good guess? Hundreds of thousands of other locations on Earth simultaneously.
Yes, definitely. Yep.
It really holds these fiat currency based governments hostage. They'd have to hit the internet kill switch. And what would that mean? That'd mean a whole lot of sheep who can't spell Bitcoin would suddenly know something was really, really wrong. You can't shut down the internet. So
right. Not at this point, at least. They may have other reasons to do it, and they'll also be happy that Bitcoin goes down, but there are bigger reasons to shut down the internet. But no, essentially what you said is correct. After all the analysis I put into it, Bitcoin is essentially the internet. So you either got to totally replace, control, or destroy the internet. Well, the problem is they may not be able to destroy it or really control it, but they may kind of hijack it a little bit. So that's what I'm worried about with blockchain technology in general. Maybe Bitcoin already been taken over, maybe not, but of course, you know, big in the news these days is something called Ripple, which has gone up even more than Bitcoin just in the past couple months. But that is essentially a bankster-backed cryptocurrency, and I'm doing more research on it myself to better understand it. I'm definitely not an expert on crypto, let alone Ripple, but I've done a pretty good amount of research, have some background in this, but point is, look into that. That is one thing I'm worried about, though, is something equal to or better than Bitcoin come out, and that is actually controlled by the central forces that cause a lot of the problems in the world these days.
You know, wouldn't it be ironic if the way that the powers that be were to confront this rise in essentially, you know, stateless currency that's freely operating in its own markets. Would it be ironic if their number one weapon to confront it is to mount other cryptocurrencies or other forms of digital currency that compete with Bitcoin and Ripple and Ethereum and Litecoin in an open marketplace? They certainly have the microphone. All it would take is Bloomberg and CNN Money and in that crowd, the establishment financial media, to talk up one of these other things that, you know, Bitcoin could diminish. It'll be just looked at in the evolutionary chain as something early that came along but was quote unquote not successful. But truly, the only reason it wasn't successful is some establishment digital currency was talked up and beat it out in a market, although if you look at it from a media standpoint, it wasn't all up and up, but it did beat it in an open market competition.
Well, what I was thinking here is that's definitely all possible, definitely true, but the banksters and friends are not going to wait for an open market. All they need to do, and this sounds outlandish, but in 10, 15, 20 years from now, quite possible that what if the IRS began to issue some sort of blockchain token for paying taxes, withholdings, different things, maybe some discounts. Just saying, when the government starts taking taxes or starts issuing benefits with a certain type of Fed coin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then it's legal tender, and that is not a free market, so they can win that way, and maybe on the free market, but they don't like to leave things to that.
Yeah, just like the easy pass toll roads now, you know, as long as you allow the government to track the whereabouts of your vehicle constantly, you're going to catch some discounts on, it's just a little bit more expensive to pay in fiat at the toll gates. Same idea. Hey, come join this, Fed coin or, IRS coin or whatever the hell, and catch a discount, and millions of sheep will say, oh yeah, that's good for me.
Definitely. I mean, practically see them doing this in the next year or two, the sheeple doing it. But literally, if you look 5, 10, 20 years down the line, I mean, imagine like 20 years ago, there wasn't even smartphones. I mean, you remember that. I remember that. Maybe not the, you know, the youngins remember that per se, but I mean, geez, but what could it be 20 years from now?
Yeah, without a doubt. So what else in the news has been striking a chord with Mr. Cochran these days? I'll tell you, on Future Danger, we've experienced 2, 3, or 4 of the relatively safest, least inflammatory news environments that we've seen since we started in October 2015. But nevertheless, there's got to be something on the news radar that piques your interest.
No, I mean, there's a lot of different stuff going on. The contrast between the global warming and then also the big freeze going on currently in January 2018, early January, is kind of ironic. I believe that there's climate change. I don't believe that it's mankind's fault. But even more importantly, even if it was mankind's fault, paying a bunch of carbon taxes to the UN is not going to fix it. So I am actually quite environmental. I don't like pollution. I want to, you know, radiation and nuclear waste is a huge problem. No one talks about GMO, et cetera, et cetera. I'm all pro environment, but the whole global warming, now it's climate change, but now it might be actually be global cooling. Some scientists say that's kind of something that's been smacking everyone in the face in the morning when you get up for work these days.
Yeah, yeah, massive cold freeze on this January 4th, 2018. It has now snowed in the deep south. Savannah, Georgia has snow. I never thought I'd live to see that. I really didn't. And I'm pretty sure that that's all natural. I think that the tide has passed on this idea that, you know, anthropometric harmful activity is affecting the planet's climate is long gone. Now, that being said, we carry a lot of indicators on Future Danger about the seas being spoiled and the fresh water being spoiled and a number of other signs of the apocalypse. Literally, things that are in the Book of Revelation, we track them. And they're always, you know, intermittent small pieces of news. But, you know, we got Fukushima. We got the Pacific Ocean. We got the strontium in the Pacific Ocean. It's a major cover-up. That ocean's, at least for our lifetimes, never going to be the same again. So that stuff does happen. And when the environment gets jacked, everybody, you know, whatever your political persuasion is, you have to take notice of it and say that happened. But, yeah, I think that you could stick a fork in global warming myth. It's done.
For sure. They just had what they think might be like the last 25-plus years' biggest nor'easter winter storm. I think you know a little bit about those potentially. And it's just like a hurricane, ice hurricane practically. So, yeah, I don't know. But, no, I absolutely agree. There's a way. The thing is, they hijacked environmental groups, or I guess just a movement in general. They did it a long time ago, I suppose, but that's the sad part, because there really are a lot of problems out there that we need to work on, but man, they hijacked it pretty bad, so I guess we just had to keep exposing that.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of time for status gain power again in the United States. when the day comes, it'll be very interesting to see how their story has changed. It'll probably be some variation on we can save you from natural phenomenon that no human has the power to save you from. Just give us the power.
Just give us the power. Give us the power. So, hey, before we get our guests on the second half of the show, looking forward to that. But before we get into the flow of that, I want to announce to the listeners, I'm giving a giveaway here. At Patriot Power Hour. And I did this on my kind of sister show, Breaking the Banksters. I did it before Christmas, did it again today, live on my show a couple hours ago, giving away your choice, some Bitcoin or some physical silver shipped to your, well, in the United States. If it's international, maybe I'll give you a little less silver. But if you're international, you're still in the contest. The first person who reaches out to me personally, not Future Dan, but me, Ben the breaker of banksters, Cochran. And gives me either says that nickname's awesome or that it sucks and can give me a better name. Either one. And or a question for the show. Something fun. Some interaction. Reach out. The first person that does it as of now, 9:16 p.m. on January 4th, 2018, will get some Bitcoin or silver. I think Bitcoin's a total scam. Send you some silver. I think silver's for the old men. You want some Bitcoin, it'll be on the way. So I just want to get that plug in there real quick.
Yeah, looking at the chart, silver, major hit early in December, right back up to where it was in the middle of November. So always a safe alternative.
Yeah, not to get rich quick, just to store your wealth. Not to get rich quick, just to not lose it.
You can take money that has meant something for multiple millennia, or you could buy a lottery ticket called Bitcoin and see what happens.
There you go. All right, we are up against the break, actually, so we'll be back, everybody, in another 10 minutes with Future Dan and myself. Then we'll bring our guest, Robert, from Ready Made Resources. Look forward to that. Stick with us.
Fight Club, the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off.
Dan, you there? I'm excited for our whole new set for season two. Brand new bumper music coming next week. How about you?
Yeah, we're going to put some intros, some outros, some commercials. We're going to do a lot of things, Ben.
Yes, sir. We got it. We were even evaluating voice talent. We're getting some voice talent to boost the production values. But hey, you know, the most important thing is information. We definitely bring that as best as we can, too. So without further ado, before we hit the next break, Future Dan, what else are you thinking is going to be a big thing for 2018 besides cryptocurrency, you know, besides potential propaganda from the environmentalists? I'm sure we got a lot of other indicators going into 2018.
Yeah, we got the potential of the Korea War starting, and it's running at a low level on a regular basis, but it's there. You know, I'll read you the headlines right now. January 4th, 2018, on what's going on in Korea. President warns China, no friendly solution if they keep cheating on North Korean oil exports. So, you know, the president's, you know, leveraging China. Maybe that's a good move. Maybe China doesn't want any of that. Could go sideways. South Korea seizes second ship suspected of providing oil to the North. That happened right after the president warned China that it might happen. So, you know, there's a strategy going on. And it's a little bit more, you know, Trump's throwing fastballs. North Korea's dictator urges mass production of nukes, says he's ready for war right afterwards. So there you go. Report, Chinese military rushed to the North Korean border in preparation for war. So, you know, you see the when you check out the indicators on future danger, you see approximately a five-day collection of headlines, and they're generally speaking in sequence from older on the top to newer at the bottom. So mini timeline of what exactly has happened last week in Korea. Next step, secret document reveals Chinese covertly offering missiles, increased aid to North Korea. Report, hungry North Korean soldiers are being given leave to find food. That headline, maybe someone might say, well that's not really like the president and the Chinese and the North Korean leadership, you know, making major geopolitical moves. But it rates as dangerous news, Ben, because, you know, if that North Korean army starts starving, somebody might decide to use it. Finally, POTUS warns North Korean dictator straight up, I got a bigger nuclear button than yours. I mean, and the mainstream media on this very night at 9:23 p.m. on January 4th, the Thursday that it is, that's all they can talk about is the fact that the president, you know, tweeted something like that. He can send that whole segment apoplectic by doing things that no other president has ever done. I'm not sitting here tonight telling anyone that Trump doesn't have a plan or he's making good moves. What I am saying is these are some unprecedented activities surrounding the Korean situation, and a reasonable person should be paying attention to it.
And definitely at least paying attention to it. Even if you want to look from a financial point of view, if you want to make money, maybe you need to understand, hey, maybe having some exposure to Korea, Korean businesses and the stocks, whatever, maybe not a great idea. On the flip side, maybe you don't want to go to Korea. Ironically, my best friend getting married in Korea in May. I don't know, man. I really don't want to go, but we'll see. But no, regardless, though, you can also, a huge cool thing about Future Danger, you can click on that Korean War restarts and go back and look at, you know, the archives. So you can go check out how it's been escalating. And it has been escalated for sure. Hopefully it'll stop, but it does not seem to be doing so.
Yeah, and most of this news is carried at the green low level. You know, it's worth paying attention to, but it's not close. We're carrying a yellow, one step up, moderate danger for the war restarting, based predominantly on Trump's tweet. It hasn't gone orange. Orange is, we save that for when, for example, the South Korea and North Korea start skirmishing, some artillery, and maybe a ship sunk, which has happened in the last 10 or 15 years. Doesn't reach the war level, but now they're shooting at each other, right? So we kind of have a long archive of these things, and you can get a feel for the ebbs and flows. You know, it's on a low simmer all the time. We got the Olympics coming up. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I don't like that. I remember seeing that like a couple months ago. I'm like, oh my god, the Olympics are coming up in South Korea. This is not a good idea. Geez, well. All right, what else is going on? I know you got so many indicators here. I might as well just start getting to them. I know one thing that maybe I've turned a blind eye to it, or just haven't put in the effort or understanding enough, but something that I've seen not as green or yellow or even orange, but red or even black with red lettering, kind of the SHTF indicator, are the unreasonable search and seizure type, judicial system direly distrusted. I know... It's almost like I feel like I'm jaded because I already knew this stuff was already destroyed essentially years ago. But now it's like unfolding in front of us. But what is exactly going on? Why are these in red and black? And why aren't people more up in arms about this stuff?
Yeah. Why people aren't up in arms about the absolute diminishment of the Fourth Amendment is that's a very philosophical conversation. I had a Twitter follower last night react to a certain headline in a certain way. I'd like to share it.
Okay.
Unreasonable search and seizure, right? That's what the Fourth Amendment is supposed to protect us from. But what people consider unreasonable is changing over the generations tremendously. A new Indiana law allows police to collect DNA samples from those charged for felonies. That's the headline. And hat tip out to Dabu7. Love his YouTube channel. Whenever he pulls out news and makes a video of it first, it goes onto the heat map. He's finding it first. His video reporting it goes onto Future Danger. And great source, Dabu7. Love him. Love his videos. Great character. He broke this out for us to find. And think about it. A YouTube user, or I should say a Twitter follower of Future Danger did, and the reaction there was, well, this law will probably solve a lot of crimes. And my response on Twitter was, so would, you know, random searches of homes and every other Gestapo tactic you can think of. But sure. There's a reason we have the Fourth Amendment is we don't want to live underneath a Gestapo. For every crime that solves, think of every crime that would be enabled. Think of placing a great big fat magnet inside of your police forces and to attract criminals. What better place to go than to, you know, enable that sort of thing? And then it brings us to another indicator that's hot all the time. We've talked about it for the first 6 episodes of Patriot Power Hour starting last year is the growing distrust of our judicial system, because the upper tier of the Department of Justice and FBI were absolutely corrupted by the previous administration, completely politicized, taken over, and worthy of no trust. If you want to ask yourself why, you know, we get warrants and why the judicial branch is an arbiter on what the executive branch's police forces can and can't do, is because when you know, remove those constraints, what you're really doing, Ben, is you're operating in a warlike environment. I would not sit here behind the microphone and advocate the United States Army would enter into engagement with North Korea and operate with, you know, Fourth Amendment rights for enemy combatants, right? You can't fight a war that way. However, that is a warlike tactic, to have the ability to search anywhere, anytime, in any circumstance. And that's not how free people should live. We got several indicators. And you asked about the color scheme. These things are red and black because the news can't get any worse. It is already SHFT when, you know, for example, Congress is likely to leave the NSA online surveillance machinery in place for years because they can't do anything about it. The 701, Section 701, everything Snowden revealed. They can't do a thing about it because it's embedded so deeply. There's parts of our constitutional construct that are just on fire and no one's doing anything about it. That's why you see them on Future Danger raging red and black.
Burning black fire, not good. So, all right, well, we got to get to a commercial break. We'll be bringing our guest on next half of the show. I'll be giving out that info about the little contest for that Bitcoin and silver as well. So if you missed that, stay tuned. We'll get to that next, and our guest as well. Stick with us.
For the attack.
We're on the right vector. We're almost there. Stay on target. All right, man. So, I'm going to give out the contest info again in 1 second, but I do want you to go ahead and plug futuredanger.com. Tell the listeners, if they don't know about it already, a little bit about your site, what they can do there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an original website. We're collecting news links in short periods of time, usually, you know, a 3 to 5 day period, and categorizing them, really, just bringing them together into context, into underneath headings, and we call them indicators. And there's a lot of them. It's nearly 500, 496 at last count. Some of them are insanely bad news. You know, that we thank God we haven't even seen any indication of. Other ones are low level common ones, like we discussed in the first half of the hour, you know, the potential for war in Korea. So basically the idea of the indicator threat grade system is to give you a feel for where we're at with certain situations. You know, most news sources that you go to, they want to hype up whatever the day's events are. We help you put it in context. We'll tell you when it's bad, the colors get more heated. You know, it ranges from blue, no news, no reports, no current evidence, you know, and ranging up from low, moderate, high, orange is high, red, severe, and then SHFT. It's the indicator is happening, and be aware of it. And that's it. It's a heat map. It tells you where the heat is in certain areas. The columns from left to right represent column one, liberty, or threats to liberty. Column two, national security and domestic security. Column three, the economy. And column four, natural phenomenon and our relationship in terms of science to the world and dangers that mankind can produce for themselves in terms of genetically modifying themselves or merging with machines or bringing forth self-aware artificial intelligence. It's all there. Every single thing that you could think of that could potentially be, you know, part of that dystopia that you see in a movie, if it's really happening, you'll see it on Future Danger coming early.
And what I'm really looking forward to is data mining this, and I've already started to some degree, but as all these articles and data builds over time, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be able to look back to things that actually occurred, look back 2, 3, 5, 10 years before, and see what caused this to take place. So, hey, Future Dan, I'm going to have to bail for a couple minutes. Got a visitor at the door, but I will be right back. Go ahead, lead us on with some of the articles that you still got there in Future Danger, and I'll get back as soon as I can.
Sure thing, Ben. Come on back when you're ready. One of the things we've been looking at for several weeks, all of 2017, is the potential for an Israeli-Iranian war to start. And I just wanted to recap. We're going to go walk backwards in time and take a look at events that are happening between these two countries. And, you know, Israel and Iran produce a lot of political variants and deviations and discussions and disagreements in our country, as it should, because both those countries are vital, you know, and major powers in their region, and they generate a lot of perspectives. From Future Danger's point of view, our number one concern is they go hot into a shooting war, because from there, you don't have any idea where it can end up. These things can go nuclear. American troops can be put into harm's way pretty darn fast, and countries can be destroyed. Peoples can be wiped out, and it's a real thing that a lot of people care about. So with that being said, we're going to just run through some headlines just for the month of December, backwards. And you get a feel, walking back in time, where these two countries are on a consistent basis. So, December 31st, leaked secret Israeli cable confirms coordination with the Saudis escalate tensions with Iran. December 10th, claim made that North Korea transferred 3 nuclear warheads to Iran. December 4th.
I'm back, Future Danger. Just so you know, I'm back, listeners and everybody.
All right, Ben. We're doing a little recap of the news on head-to-head Israel and Iran. What they've been doing in the month of December.
December 4th, need to talk about that with those protests and everything going on and all this other stuff. Israel and the whole Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and oh my gosh, keep going.
Yep, December 4th, Israel continues attacks in Syria. December 2nd, surface missiles fired from Israel into Syria. And the reason that's important is, you know, the Syrian regime is essentially a Shiite proxy of Iran. And there's a lot of Iranian forces in the country. And during those strikes in the first week of December, it was suspected that the Israelis actually struck some Iranian Revolutionary Guard troops stationed at an air base outside of the capital of Damascus. December 2nd, Iranian state media reports that Syria had launched missiles at Israeli aircraft. Again, Iranian forces were suspected to have been hit. Walking back in time, November 26th, a week before all those strikes occurred, Israel had vowed to destroy Iranian forces near the Syrian border. Essentially, Israel has said if certain size troop formations that are identified as Iranian or Iranian proxies get too close to the Golan Heights, they're going to hit them. We're looking at a war through proxies on a constant basis between these two countries. And going back into earlier in November on the 13th, Israel shoots down a Syrian recon drone over the Golan Heights. A week before that, Israel begins the largest ever aerial military drill. And on November 1st, Russia began construction of two nuclear plants in Iran. There's a serious potential for these countries to go to war. And it runs at a low-grade, consistent proxy war throughout the Middle East. If you want to understand the Middle East today, there's two conflicts that are in low-level, low-intensity stages going on all the time. Iran is involved in both of them. The first is Iran squaring off with Israel. And I've just read you the past 2 months' news that we deemed at Future Danger significant towards the potential for an Israeli-Iranian war to start. The other is a Shiite-Sunni world war starting. And when I say Shiite, I say Iran. They are the leader of the Shiite sect of Islam. And when I say Sunni, we're talking about Saudi Arabia, who's had a lot of its own problems recently. And essentially what is happening in the Middle East is there's this triangle. And on the third axis, you have Israel and Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf Arab and moderate, you know, quote unquote, moderate Sunni regimes who are basically allied against Iran. It's a flammable situation. And hell, it's the Middle East. I remember being told when I was a kid when Yasser Arafat was holed up in Beirut and the Israelis were bombing the crap out of that city that someone could drop a nuke on the Middle East and the only thing you can be sure of is two people are going to crawl out of the rubble and start fighting with each other. it seems as though that piece of advice I got is going to hold true the rest of my life. So that's a recap of one indicator diving into the archives, Ben. Well, yeah, would you like to cover tonight, sir?
See, that's what's so cool about the archives. And it's not really cool because it's such morbid, horrible stuff that's going on. But on the flip side, you know, as analysts and radio hosts and activists and all that good stuff, U.S. citizens, more importantly, Americans, trying to fight the good fight, get the word out, going that deep into the archives and seeing how it progressed. But, like, you know, started with some exercises, then became recon drones being shot down and just escalated. And, you know, knock on wood, hopefully things won't get too hot anytime soon. But as you said, Saudi Arabia had a crazy 2017. I know I talked about it some on my show. I don't know if we touched on it too much on our show. Maybe we did. But point is, they were going absolutely nuts. And then in Iran, we've seen massive protests and destabilization. There we go. In the past, over the last several years, but definitely the past week or two, really flamed up. So those two both in major trouble. One of the best ways to get the support back at home is to go to war. So that's something that's definitely lining up for an issue, some big problems, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's the Middle East. Like I said, the number one concern from my perspective is that if we fight a war in that region again, this time let's win it. Let's do what we did in the 20th century when it really mattered. If you gotta fight to win, and if you're not gonna fight to win, don't do it. That's kind of my philosophical perspective on all of these encounters. Same thing in North Korea. If you're gonna launch something, or if that country does something that takes life in a significant way, put an end to it. Wrap it up once and for all. Change history forever and leave something in its wake that's a little more stable and a little more free for all the human beings in the region.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have zero faith that we'll be able to do that. So pretty much we better stay out of this or it's going to be a quagmire. And then another problem is if Israel gets roped in, you know, we're going to be right there with them too. So that's kind of a problem in of itself. And Saudi Arabia, of course, we're kind of the military power for both of them.
Yeah, the toppling of the Saudi regime would definitely draw in U.S. troops. First, it would draw in U.S. mercenaries. As soon as that didn't work and they ran out and they couldn't handle what it was. And you would be certain that all those ISIS types would come home to roost. And it could be mayhem. I have no sympathy for that regime. If if it looked like it was going down, I'd actually be in favor of watching it go. But when it comes to the state, when it comes to the state of Israel, for whatever their policies are to their neighbors and the opinions about how that country operates within the world, setting those aside, you cannot stand to see that nation be driven into the sea and annihilated. It just, it can't be let to happen. And and the fact of the matter is, there's only one country on earth that we'd be left to make sure it didn't happen, and that'd be the USA.
Good old USA. Now, one thing I was wondering is what's going to happen if Russia gets involved, maybe even China. What's your opinion? They have to have some skin in the game in the Middle East. That's kind of the problem. Middle East, everyone's got skin in the game there. We kind of know what Russia will do, but what will China do if things start to go down in the Middle East potentially?
Well, I've seen reports that Chinese special forces are in Saudi Arabia, Syria, assisting the Assad regime. How true that is, I don't know. It wasn't mainstream news reports. It was, relatively fringe or alternative sources. So I don't know if that's exactly true, but who knows who has special forces where in this world? But they do have a major base that they've built in East Africa in a tiny country, wedged right in between, right near Saudi Ethiopia, known as Djibouti, and Djibouti is basically a little French colony that was carved out and has been maintained as a Western military base, very strategic right there on the Red Sea. But China managed to go and talk to the Djibouti government and lease some basing rights, and that country now has the ability to project force in Africa. They're definitely trying to grow into a global, force projection power. And we're watching it happen.
The thing is, though, I always comes back to economics and finance for me, but we think we're going bankrupt. China is also on the edge of a bubble that might just collapse underneath them. I don't think they're going to be able to afford to project power like America has in the past. I know we can't really afford to do it anymore either. So hopefully, in a way, if the economy – well, this is not going to happen. I almost wish everyone was just too poor to go to war. But everybody knows once the money runs out, that's when everyone actually does go to war. So I'm not feeling so happy about that situation. But what can we say? All right, well, hey, before we forget, let me get that shout-out one more time. Folks, if you want to win some silver or Bitcoin, not both, you get to choose. You got to let me know which one you want. Of course, if you want Bitcoin, you got to send me your Bitcoin address. If you want silver, you got to send me a mail-in address. But the first person to reach out to me, Ben Cochran, host or co-host of Patriot Power Hour here on Patriot Broadcast Network, you reach out to me. It's easy to find where to reach out to me, but I might as well just go through it real quick. On Twitter, you can look me up, Bankster Breaker. You can just search Dethrone the Banksters anywhere. But on Facebook, obviously, my page is Dethrone the Banksters. And, dethronethebanksters.com, pretty easy to find my stuff there. If you're listening to this on Blog Talk Radio, you can see all these different links, and of course, Future Dan's links as well to futuredanger.com and his YouTube and Twitter. But you got to reach out to me. Doesn't count if you reach out to him. You reach out to me. You got to let me know. I got a few questions. If you want to give me a new nickname, I'm really having a soul search for nicknames here. Give me a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname. That's why I'm having problems. I need you to give me a nickname. Questions for the show, suggestions, feedback. If you want to be a guest, you got guest suggestions. First person to reach out to me. You're getting some gold, or not gold, sorry. No gold. Silver. Or some Bitcoin. And, so there's my little plug. But you're also excluded, Future Dan. Sorry.
But listeners can reach out to me, and I can put them in touch with you, can't they?
Yes. Definitely. They know. If they know you, they need to redirect the account. But if I have like multiple people coming at this and they reached out to you before this other guy, but that guy reached out to me before and it got redirected, we're going by timestamps based off, wherever you reach out to me at.
Awesome. How do they email you? for all that crowd that is actually still emailing.
There you go. DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com. Yes, I use Gmail, the devil, the Google evil machine. Might as well use their machine.
Sure is easy to search, though. They did figure that out.
Yeah, they did. The new artificial intelligence in the making. That's what they're using it for. But without going down that side track. But no, that actually is stuff you talk about a few danger. AI rising and cybernetics and stuff. You seen any indicators on that lately?
Yeah, absolutely. All year long. Some of it, you know, it's really easy to get, you know, overblown. Some of the pieces of news, like a car that can actually, you know, anticipate your needs. I don't know if that ranks. Where's that line? We track hardcore cyborg developments because if you think about it, you know, how many movies you've seen when people and machines begin to merge, all those plot lines always inevitably have, you know, major problems with them. And maybe it's just, you know, a perfect utopia ahead of us if you have half your head is built out of a computer and you're merged with a machine. But something tells me that there'll be a lot of social problems that come with that. And there's a lot of people that would say that tampering with your body in that manner is ungodlike and shouldn't be happening. But yeah, for example, an indicator on future danger we call self-aware machines materialize, right?
Okay,
that's the greatest fear. That's the turning point. That's the singularity. When those things become beings, when they think for themselves, can we stop what happens next? I don't think it leaps, you know, 15 minutes later into Skynet, but what if we're standing there seeing people marrying computers and having courts start to say that that's, you know, a legitimate relationship and other bizarre outcomes that diminish humanity? That's what I'm worried about, and that's why we track it. You know, hit a few headlines recently, you know, robots are able to see into their own futures. That was a report out of Berkeley. You know, Max Tegmark put out an article on November 25th about why super intelligent AI could be the last human invention, right? That's the fear.
Right.
Google's AI is now binge watching human behavior on YouTube. So every YouTube video you throw up there, Mr. Cochran, there's a computer learning how to, you know, moving incrementally closer to being self-aware because it's learning what it means to be human. AI is now able to get around the need for human input in many ways. We had a report in 2017 of a pair of AIs that invented their own language that the human researchers couldn't decrypt. The machines did start talking to each other. You know? So you want to talk about what's on the way in 5 to 10 to 20 years. We may be dealing with massive social upheaval because these inventions, these machines, these tools actually do become beings.
I'm always the one to say technology is neutral. It's how it's applied or used. Now, for example, the internet. It's allowing us to have this beautiful, great radio show, the Patriot Power Hour, every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. On the other hand, it also allows everyone to be spied upon and lots of other fraud and cyber attacks and lots of issues. I think society's already been screwed up by the computer internet revolution the past, you know, couple decades, and we kind of need to just relax for a while and figure out how to deal with what we got now. But moving forward, I think society could be totally destroyed, but it could also be revived if used in the right way. So this, I don't know, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be very interesting to watch, I'll tell you that.
It's definitely with us. But remember, technology is neutral. It's a matter of how it's applied. If that's the rationale, then when technology starts applying itself, because it can think and act for itself, does the axiom still hold true?
Nice. Good. I don't know. That's a good question. Hey, you know, actually, I totally forgot. We have a listener question, and we only got like 3 minutes to go practically. But let's end the show with it. Might as well. Let's go for it. So we Let's got EC152. I don't know what that means, but it must be their initials or something like that. They asked, I guess, both of us, what is your stance on quote-unquote reasonable gun control? Hey, you only got like 45 seconds to answer this. Maybe I'll give my answer afterwards. Go ahead. What do you think about quote-unquote reasonable gun control? What does that mean? What is it even possible?
It's a canard. The entire concept is built around the premise that the right to keep and bear arms may be infringed, which it can't be. I don't buy it.
That's a sell from Future Dan. I agree as well. I mean, the next natural progression that this person, I think this person maybe just trying to get this information out of us, but maybe they disagree. But I think they may say, okay, what about a person's ability to bear a nuclear weapon? Obviously, that's over the top. But what about hand grenades? Or I don't know. Where does it end? Do you have a response to that hypothetical rebuttal?
Yeah, I think the founders meant for American citizens to be able to possess the same battle rifle as their army. And that's what the musket was in 1776, and that is what the AR-15 is today. And as long as that parity is in place and there's a deep and wide understanding of patrolling tactics and small infantry maneuvering in the civilian body, being able to put down a tyranny is within reach. Those nukes don't operate themselves. Some people on bases do. And if there's enough people with rifles that want to put an end to whatever is happening, the capability is there. The entire point of the Second Amendment is to hold your government at risk. That's nuclear strategic terminology. We hold other countries at risk with our arms so we don't have to use them. That's what the Second Amendment is meant to do, and it all revolves around the battle rifle level.
Nice. I love it. That's beautiful. I never heard it explained in that exact way, but you'll hear why the Department of Defense needs hundreds of billions more for the next level of intercontinental ballistic missiles and the nuclear triad to deter all the attacks. But, oh, how dare the citizenry be able to deter tyranny with the battle rifle. And that's a great explanation. Might have to turn that into a promo someday, sir. So, all right, well, we got about 30 seconds left. We'll be back next week, next Thursday, as always. Future Danny, got any last words before we're out of here for the week?
Yeah, so no one's mistaken. I'm not knocking the fact that the United States has a strategic nuclear deterrence, because there's a vicious communist regime in Beijing and Pyongyang and Tehran. Not communist, Islamic, but whatever. Those Russians have had their moments in the previous century where they were pretty vicious against the world as well. Don't knock the defense industrial industry, the complex, unless you can come up with a better way of stopping those vicious regimes that we live on this planet with. Explain
everyone
that one to me.
Everyone, we'll have to continue this discussion next time. That's a good one to leave it off. See you guys later.